Okay.
I am.
Have we ever played a game to start the show?
I think so, but I think it's been a while. I don't think it went well, so I don't know how this is going to go. But in my head, there's like Jeopardy music playing right now. And there's like...
I think the music that's actually playing is...
Oh.
All right.
Is that our... Yeah. That's our intro. Okay, the game I want to play is... Things that you never thought you'd do until you had a kid.
Okay.
So... The way this works is I say that and then you give something. Okay, I'll give an example.
Okay.
Things I thought I'd never do until I had a kid.
Right.
Feel around on the floor in the dark with my bare feet for puke.
Yes. Wipe poop off of my eyelid.
Oh, that's like... It's like, all right, I can see 3 days in my future where I have a swollen pink eye that is shut together with my crusties because it's infected. Yeah. Things I never thought I would do until I had a kid. Man, there's just so many. And then there's things you're like, I don't know if I should say that. Okay.
Go.
Use my hand in any way to wipe something on someone's bottom. Like, that's the one I would say. I probably shouldn't have said that. But, like, you know, I don't want my kid to have a diaper rash. So I'm going to put...
I'll say one that's a little less gross or not poop-related. Not eat hot food for, like, 3 months.
Just whatever comes near your body.
Just, like, just not be given the opportunity to eat food when it was prepared, warm, when it was supposed to be eaten for, like, months.
Right.
I can remember after we had Anna the first time that I had, like... French fries that were hot, and I was like, "Oh, wow, these are amazing! Like, why do people not eat fries at every meal?"
Right.
These are amazing.
I got one that I think for people who know me, like, you're gonna hear this. People are gonna be like, "That's disgusting." People who know me are gonna be like, "Oh my gosh, you not take a shower for 4 days?"
Especially because. The thing about T is he usually takes 2 or 3 a day.
Yeah, there's like...
Like, it's a weird day when you only have 1 shower.
Mm-hmm. Also, like...
You're a shower guy.
I'm a shower guy. I'm a toothbrushing guy. Like, in my life, if I step out of my house for anything, I brush my teeth. So, it's like, you know, on average, 3 times a day. Sometimes 4.
Yeah.
But there have been multiple times in the past 5 weeks where it's like... A day, you know, like during my paternity leave or like a day where I don't have to go to work. Where it's 2 o'clock and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't brushed my teeth today. This is disgusting.
Yeah. Things I didn't know. Listen to music you hate constantly.
Not there yet, but it's going to happen.
It's going to come.
Yeah. We have decided that Cocomelon is just not going to exist in our house. Like, our child won't have the experience of Cocomelon. If there's a play date, you know, like...
Oh, God.
You know, like, when you're a kid and you're, like, 10 and your friend who's really cool gets to watch all the R-rated movies and you have to call home and be like, hey, this happened to me at least. Hey, so-and-so wants to watch this movie. How do you feel about that? And there was plenty of times in my life where it was like, hey, sorry, man. We just can't. We can't. My parents won't let me. And, like, that happened a lot. Yeah. Like, we're going to send Jude to whoever's house anyway. And I'm going to say, he's not allowed to watch Cocomelon. Do not... Don't show him. I don't want him to know it exists. I don't.
Yeah.
And that's purely selfish. My wife and I have agreed on it. We will not hear 8 minutes straight to Wheels on the Bus. In that form. It's going to happen.
Dude, what if you lived in a world where you were constantly subjected to Cocomelon and also you had to pretend to like the blue and white checkered shoulders of the Kentucky Wildcats football uniform?
And I heard during the Cold War, the way that torture would be done is Cocomelon on repeat while standing in the middle of Kroger Field January. I can't say that. That needs to be cut out of this show. To imply anything about a war is not allowed in this show. That has
it's
to be
so
edited.
True, though.
That has to be edited.
It's so true. It's crazy.
We're going to cut that part
so
out.
So there's also like, let's see. I had another one in mind. To constantly, which this may not be your experience because you have a newer car, to constantly try to get a seatbelt to fit in that stupid little metal H-clip to get the car seat base in a car that was manufactured before they thought car seats were good ideas.
Right. Man. I'm thankful we haven't had that one yet.
Yeah, you just get to click
that. But I will say, the hour I spent trying to figure out how to put the car seat base in, it was one of those things where I put it off for a few days, and I just looked at Maddie. Maddie was like, hey, it's time. And I was like, hey, just be prepared for when I come back in this house. I'm not going to be doing my best.
I'll tell you this. Before I had a newborn, I had no idea, and all you dads out there are going to know this real, real strong. I had no idea how good I would get at doing things one-handed.
Mm, yes. Yes.
Like just the number of things. I can fold clothes. I can
cook
food. I can carry groceries in. I can unlock doors. Right. I can do so many things with one hand that I would always do, because you got one hand that's holding the baby or holding the carrier or whatever it is. But like how good you get at doing like just normal everyday tasks with one hand.
I also will say, like, anytime I held a baby before that wasn't my own, or like I remember in the weeks leading up to having our kid, I would go down our back steps and it would be rainy or wet, and I'd be like, I cannot walk up and down the steps with this kid because I'm going to fall and I'm going to kill our kid. But now, like, I can hold our kid safely in any form.
I'm going to kill our kid.
You're just afraid that
Maddie going to listen to this?
Yeah. She knows exactly what I'm saying, though. We're on the same page here. Oh, God, like,
Maddie, he's not going to kill your kid.
No, she knows I'm not going to kill. But, like, I would say I'm good at carrying a kid now.
I'm doing the woodpecker thing.
I'm confident in, like, oh, no, like, you spit up on this hand, so I can't hold you with it, but I got to go change you, so I'm gonna carry you in one hand. Your head's not going to fall off, and you're not going to fall away. I got you.
Yeah, or I'll tell you another. Before I had a kid, I had no idea that I could actually survive, do a job, have friendships and relationships and conversations while also having been up 3 hours in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Every single day.
Wow.
For months on end.
Yes. Yeah, that's what Molly Warren was talking to me the other day. She was like, I would go to work on 2 hours of sleep, and I'd be like, is this legal? Am I allowed to do this? And part of me was like, you're a doctor.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do this on 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah,
PA. But also, like, as a pastor, I don't, you know, and right. we've been fortunate. Like, Jude, he's been a good sleeper.
He's a good dude. Jude the dude.
He's a Rob good Logan sleeper. But also, like, I've never been this tired before.
Am I imagining this, or is it true that sometimes Rob spells Jude the dude D-O-O-D?
Probably. Jude the dude. He's in his mind. Oh, gosh.
I don't know if that's right or not. Rob, you can tell us. Rob is our just sweetest fan.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of sweet fans. We do. Fans? We don't have fans.
Not fans. Listeners?
Listeners. We don't have fans.
Yeah, not fans.
Nobody's waiting outside of our church for us to leave our podcast.
I overstepped. Yeah. Welcome to Ancient and New. We don't actually
probably have fans. Stop doing the show now.
Oh gosh, it's over. That was a good run.
This is probably like 6 years in.
It's probably the last show.
Yeah. What if that's how we ended this? Okay. That was our last one. See y'all.
Just like, whoop. There's like a test pattern, and it's over.
We really have probably since 2016, right?
Oh wow. Look.
So my internship started.
Everything that's happened since 2016, this has been a necessary presence in the world. I'll just say that right now.
Mm. Our podcast?
Yeah.
Or just the space of you and I recording the podcast?
Our podcast, if it's...
It's international.
Since 2016, it's been a necessary space in the world.
We recorded this podcast in 2018 in Spain. Jacked up
world in 2016. Was that 2018?
Yeah.
Welcome to Ancient News Bible Study Podcast. What have you got for us? Where are you taking us?
Hebrews.
Let's go in the scriptures to the book of Hebrews.
I would say it's... If I had to put money on something, I would say this is your favorite book of the Bible. Am I right?
My favorite book?
Yep.
No.
Oh. Favorite book in the New Testament?
Not even close.
You love Hebrews.
Dude, I think Hebrews is one of the hardest books in the New Testament.
That's so surprising to me. I mean, like, I'm not saying that because I don't think it's true. I'm saying that because, like, I'm the lay person here.
I wrestle with Hebrews.
If you've been listening to our show for a while, you probably know one of us has been a pastor much longer than the other one, and you can tell by by listening. But I would say, you quote Hebrews more than any other book.
Look, there's a lot of important stuff in Hebrews. I'm just saying I wrestle with it. Also, I just realized I forgot my reading glasses. I'm going to be struggling. Oh no, Thomas is making the most ridiculous face. I wish you guys could see his face. Your face was so ridiculous. I've never seen you make that face before. That was a new one.
Never heard you say utter that phrase.
I did. I forgot my reading glasses, and now I can't. I'm just struggling.
But it was
like an overnight thing. Friends, listeners, countrymen.
Yeah, but I say, what's happened? Because you've never once said that. And then the other day you said, I got reading glasses, and now you can't read without them.
Overnight, I woke up one day and I couldn't see the things that were too close to me. And even now, like, Christy, she's like, haha, look at this meme. She shows me her phone and I'm like, hold on. And I like back it up.
Man, she has so much things to rail you on as far as like,
oh my gosh,
audio impairment and visual impairment.
Six. I'm just kidding. Look, all I'm saying is, entered into the record was the idea that I don't get just absolutely railed in this show, and I do. And it was
not as much as me.
Hold on. It was such a trope that at a certain point you actually came on air, and longtime listeners will know this is true. They will have my back. That you were like, I'm done. I'm done making fun of you. I can't do it anymore. I've done it too much.
Well, then I stopped for a long time. We've done the show for 6 years, as I've already previously noted. Oh, there was like 3 years of me not making fun of you.
I'm just saying, it happened because there was a lot of making fun of Lee.
As people listening to this are probably like, this is not true because they only hear me in this space, but I'm not good at that. No, back me up here. I'm not good at being the guy who makes fun of people. I'm very quick to...
Well, let's be clear.
Maybe I'm being...
You're funny. Like, you say stuff that's funny, and then you take it a step too far.
Yeah, I know.
And then you feel, and then you torture yourself.
And I'm terrible about it. I do go a step too far. So I'm wording that poorly.
I just thought of like that.
I am good at it.
I just thought of that.
I feel shame easily. I am good at it. I feel shame easily.
Yeah.
So I have.
That's the thing. Thomas is good at most things except ice skating. It's just that he feels bad about some of the things he's good at.
Hebrews 6.
Okay.
I think I'm going to start. In verse 16.
Carry on.
It's funny. I'm going to read a few verses, but...
it's almost the end of the chapter.
Astute observation.
Is this Melchizedek?
Right. I'm not going to make it that far, actually.
But that's who he's talking about, right? Abraham and Melchizedek?
Yeah. This is one of those things where I'm going to read, I think, 16 through 18, and I'm going to talk about probably four words, but... I'm very prepared to hear from you that I'm taking this completely out of context. So
there's like a broader situation happening.
Yeah, there is. I'm prepared to hear it from you.
Okay, okay.
But I also think what I'm about to say is really impactful and true. Okay, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Okay. It's interesting. Lee said it. We're about to start talking. Well, we have been talking about a guy named Melchizedek who, is super interesting in the biblical canon. He pops up a little bit in the Old Testament.
Just
and
a bonkers and character. Then
whoever wrote the book of Hebrews brings him back at full force and talks a lot about him like we're supposed to know everything about him. But
it's like the new Spider-Man movie. It's just like there's all these characters coming back from the old episodes that you loved.
Yeah. So, but anyways, I'm actually going to kind of, I'm not going to talk about Melchizedek. I'm literally going to talk about a line in the middle of verse 18, which says, which it is impossible for God to lie. Okay, so you're hearing that and you're like, well, duh. But also, like, to say the word impossible in the same sentence as God is so interesting. Like, trying to wrap your mind around that is like, what would you say that about?
Well, I just thought of something that happened when Matt King was a Young Life leader.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this story?
Is it possible for God to make a sandwich so spicy?
No, don't get it sideways.
Okay.
It's so good.
Go ahead.
Matt King is teaching campaigners, leading a campaigners burrito. Group, and he gives it his all, and he says, "Does anybody have any questions?" To which a kid who I think his name was Boris said, which is the most Oak Ridge thing ever, if you know Oak Ridge at all. But Boris looks at Matt and says, "I have a question." Matt's like, "Sweet." He says, "Can God make a burrito so hot even he can't eat it?"
That's funny. Anyways. Okay, so... Wow. We probably should have published this part.
That was so
as
it's, funny.
As a standalone episode. And come back to the content.
Dude, that is content, man. That's
This is not going to be an episode where Austin White texts us and says how amazing the scripture thing we talked about is.
I refute that. We're not done yet.
You're right. Okay, so just the idea of trying to wrap my mind around the word impossible and God in the same sentence.
Okay.
Those words have never been uttered out of my mouth unless I'm reading this.
Yeah, because what does the angel say to Mary? With God, all things are possible.
Right. There's a lot of verses people quote about the possibility of all things in God. It's a very common thing to utter. And
this is cool.
Commonly mistaken or taken out of context. But the thing that I think is so cool is that where we do land on something being impossible for God, it's the idea that he would lie.
Wow.
Okay. So.
That's awesome.
My wife is laughing about this for her own reasons, just insider joke reasons between the two of us. But the thing that is so cool is the impossibility of God lying. So, like, why do I think that's so cool? Because it means like we know that all scripture. 2 Timothy talks about how all scripture is God breathed. Like these are his words. This is what he wants.
3:16. You can always think of that because it's like
John. It's like John 3:16. Yeah. So I think it's like we are looking at the words of God in this, and there's a lot of heavy, tasteful, helpful things for people and for believers. That it's true. It's just straight up true. He's not lying. And I know that sounds like super like well duh, but like have you ever thought about it? Like the things he promises, the things that he says are true about us, the things that are going to come true about this world and about where we live and where we're going to be forever. Like, it's not a lie. It's true. And he can't lie about it. He's not going to lie about it.
That's awesome.
We get to take him at his word. We don't have to cower in fear that things aren't going to come true or things are going to be.
About some.
Yeah, go ahead. That's where I was going to go next. Okay. I like that.
Anyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yeah. Neither a smoldering wick or a broken reed will I crush.
Yeah.
Or I put out. Neither a smoldering wick will I snuff out or a broken reed will I crush.
Neither do I condemn you.
Mm.
Friend, your sins are forgiven.
Yet, I will not leave you as orphans.
Oh my gosh. Don't let your hearts be troubled. In God's house, there are many rooms. If that weren't so, I wouldn't have told you.
Right.
But I will come back and take you to be with myself.
Mm.
I mean, like, that's so sweet. You just, it, basically what you've done here is you've given us an almost endless little, like, in the old school, like, seventh grade science sense, a simple machine in which to enter any red letters of Jesus that would be encouraging or heartwarming or that would pump you up, and you just get to enter them in and realize, like, oh, not only do I think this is true because of the character of Jesus or because of the way that he comported himself, but like it's actually impossible for God to lie.
Right. So yeah, I know I've read this plenty of times, but I was reading over it I guess yesterday, and I just had never thought about the word impossible and God being in this order. You know, I just never thought about it.
That's
so
cool.
But it was so cool with what it was referring to.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, you promised a little greater context earlier, but what you just did was such great content. I feel like almost like not doing it, but just for giggles, like It's in the book of Genesis, like in the 20s, I think. Abraham has to fight this battle against these kings, and this dude shows up out of nowhere and helps him fight this battle. The guy's name is Melchizedek, and Abraham gives him...
Just gives him a tenth of all the things.
Yeah, he gives him a tenth of all the spoils.
Yeah.
And, like, the writer of Hebrews makes hay with this by saying, like, look, Jesus... Okay, you're wondering, how can Jesus be a priest when he's not from the line of Levi? Which is, like, all the Jewish priests were from the family of Levi, and Jesus was from the family line of Judah. And he said, but... Melchizedek was a high priest of God and the king of Salem. Mm. And he came, and he was not a descendant of Abraham, not a descendant of Levi for sure, but he was a high priest of God. And in fact, we know that his office was legit because Abraham gave him a tenth of the spoils. And we know that the lesser blesses the greater, which it was just really, really cool.
That's cool.
Like, Melchizedek's just this super, super interesting figure. Just comes out of nowhere. Nobody knows what his parentage is or his lineage or his family line or anything like that. Yeah. But he blesses Abraham and he helps
him. It talks about his name a little bit. Is in chapter 7?
Yeah. King of Righteousness, I think.
Yeah, and like King of Peace. Like both of those things.
King of Salem is King of Peace.
Yeah.
And then
that's right.
Melchizedek is King of Righteousness.
Yes, which he's such an interesting. I mean, we could probably have a conversation about him at some point. These are the answers I know is what I'm saying right now. So we don't need to have another conversation.
So cool. Very cool chapter, and you made some. Oh my gosh! Thomas just threw a plastic Fresca bottle across the room, bounced off the rim 20 times like he was. Gosh.
Man, I'm sad not because that happened, but
it's like it's the way that some people might choke in the SEC tournament.
Well, I'm sad because it used to be what I would consider my spiritual gift is I never missed trash into a trash can.
Look, what I would say is,
and it's gone.
You've had a baby.
Well,
things are going to be off for a little.
It happened when I left the fellowship of being a pastoral intern.
Wow, it was your pastoral intern spiritual gift. Okay, Romans chapter 12 is an amazing, amazing chapter for the person who believes in Jesus. It's kind of a come to Jesus meeting of like, hey, if you believe in Jesus, you owe your entire life to him. And this is what it needs to look like. Mm. But there's just this cool thing that happens in, so the kind of mega zoom in version for me is that, you know, most of my spiritual raising was done by Tom Job. I didn't really have a very robust or authentic relationship with Jesus before I met that man. And I didn't really know what it meant to spend time in the scriptures before I met him. And when I first started hanging around him, he would describe it as he describes it now as like, look, here's what I do. I get up in the morning, I make coffee, I open up the scriptures, and I'm just looking for reasons to praise Jesus. I'm looking for him to tell me that he loves me. Mm. Now, anybody that's tried to do this before will know that sometimes, depending on where you're reading the scriptures, they're just just not a lot of food.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's not a sentence that says to you.
When you're in the Book of Numbers in the one-year Bible, you're just like...
there's okay. Just not that moment where you're like, oh, wow, look how much Jesus loves me.
Right.
You know, like, it's just hard to come by. So I have gotten agile. And over the years. So and longtime listeners of this show will know that one of the things I do is like, if Jesus is ever like handing out woes, or if he's ever like upset with somebody and he says like, you don't do this, then I look at that thing and I'm like, oh, but I do. So like, we're good. You know, like, in other words, like I'll flip the script. So like, when he says to Jerusalem as he's coming in on the triumphal entry, he's literally weeping, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and all that stuff. Like, how I wish that you had wanted me. I wanted and would have gathered you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you didn't want me." And when I read a scripture like that, I'll be like, "Oh, but I want you." And then I'm like, "Oh, Jesus wants to gather me under his wings like a hen gathers her chicks." And then I'll derive encouragement from that, because it's true. I do want that. So sometimes I've got these little like ninjutsu tricks when I don't find something obviously encouraging about the love of Jesus to me. So, okay. All that to say this. In Romans chapter 12, this is verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Mm. Okay, these are really cool verses in their own right about what it means to walk with Jesus, what it means to be his and everything. But I read Romans chapter 12 as part of my reading in the scripture, you know, at some point this week, and I was just like, oh, there's not this like moment where I'm getting super encouraged about the love of Jesus for me. And then I realized, like, if you're making a blanket statement about love, then actually it's telling me something about your love for me. Like, if you're saying love must be sincere, one of the things that means, Jesus, is your love is sincere.
Right, right. Oh, that's cool, man.
Like, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love.
Right.
If you're saying to me, like, I need to be devoted to people that I love, you're devoted to me.
Right.
In love. Because whatever you're asking of me in love, you're doing.
Well, you also, like, 1 John 4, God is love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's like we can transitive property that anytime we want.
This is what I'm saying. Whatever love is, that's something you're feeling for me. So if you're educating me on the nature of love, then it's something that I can absolutely look in the mirror and say, this is something Jesus feels for you. Hmm. Never be lacking in zeal. Zeal is a word that means like, it literally means like to boil over with passion. Like just boil, like just like your blood is boiling with passion.
Yeah.
But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Mm. And what I did to encourage myself after just kind of thinking about these things in my own life and where I need to grow and all that stuff was just to point these things back at myself and say, like, hey, wait a minute. Like, your love for me is serious.
Yeah.
It's sincere. Cool. It's like, you're not messing around. It's not flippant. It's not light. It's not just like a lighthearted thing. It's like, it's a really serious deal to you. You're devoted to me.
Yeah, that's cool.
You honor me. You're zealous. You boil over in passion for me. You are joyful in hope about me, patient, faithful. Like, it was one of those moments where I was just like, oh man. Like, I can encourage myself about the love of Jesus for me because he's just educating me on the nature of love, which means this is the way that he feels about me.
Right.
It's sincere. It's honoring. It's devoted. Mm. Like, I can't tell you how much, just how much encouragement I got over taking like a few minutes with my phone on Do Not Disturb and in the silence of a room over some coffee the other day or whatever, just to think about like, what does it mean? And what comes to mind when I think about the fact that Jesus is flat out devoted to me?
Wow. That's so cool.
It was just so kind.
Hmm. Yeah. That, I mean, the whole thing you're doing to me, I can't not read that this way now. Like, whatever point I was going to make beforehand is out the window. I don't even... It's just... That whole thing right there just unlocked something so cool. Because it's taking what we said in the part where I talked about, like, God's not lying. So, like, I'm reading this now from the perspective of, like, God is love. Love is these things. This is how God feels about me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, on our best days, we can believe that stuff. And like the other day, you've talked about this before in here, but you're really good at accepting things throughout your day as like gifts from God. And I'd forgotten that for a long time until the other day at 9:30 on Sunday night, we were looking at 3.5 inches of snow when we weren't supposed to get any. And I put on all my snow clothes and I took my dog outside and we just ran. Like Dobby and I ran up and down the street and we chased each other. Yeah. Like if you follow me on social media, you saw that I posted zoomies for both of us, and it's because I literally was sprinting. And then when I'd run out of breath, Dobby would sprint, and like, we just like sprinted back and forth. And I had a moment where I just thanked Jesus for it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, that thing that you did there unlocked something in me by thanking the Lord for things like that. Just like what you are doing today. So like looking at this and saying like, man, oh, I know what I was going to say. Like on my best days, I can have moments like that. I want to be good at like, okay, I'm not having a great day. Can I still accept something like this from the Lord? Can I look at a scripture like this when I don't feel this way about myself and say, the Lord feels this way about me? What's that going to do in me? Am I going to let that like be an insulin shot of encouragement and fill me up? Or am I going to, you know, whatever. Like I want to get good on my days when I'm not doing great or feeling great or my best self, of accepting things like this as truth from the Lord, because they can't be lies.
Yeah. I was a guest at a wedding one time, and I was listening to this couple say their vows, and like when this gal, one of our friends, was saying her vows to her husband, I remember the tone of her voice. I remember squeezing Christy's hand and being like, whoa, she is like dead serious. It was like the most serious tone of voice I've ever heard from somebody who usually is just laughing all the time. And it was like the sincerity in that voice of like, I mean this to the absolute core of who I am. I will never stop. And it's like, if I can internalize and believe with all my heart that like Jesus's love for me is honoring to me, it's devoted, and it's absolutely freaking stone cold sincere. Like, I feel like I'm like, what am I worried about?
Yeah.
What are you gonna throw at me, Day?
Right. Yeah, like, and that's, I love what you're saying, because like, we talked about this. You talked about this a few weeks ago. You were talking about is it Psalm 3, the Lord being our shield.
Yeah.
So like, this is a place I want to practice that. Like, I want this to be the first thing that things get filtered through.
Nice.
Like, it's funny because I think from our platform here, we can sound preachy, and I think it needs to be said that the reason why we do it the way we do is because we're just sharing what we learned, and what we're talking about is we're trying to convince ourselves.
So, yeah, because we often say like, oh, we talked about this scripture before. It's because we're not preachy, we're flimsy.
Yeah, we're flimsy, and we're
having to circle back on this stuff exactly. All the time.
It should be I hope it's an encouragement when anything. Nobody is sitting. No, we're never at our with the mic in our face, pointing fingers and saying, "Do better, world." We're looking inwardly and saying, "Do better, Thomas," or like, "Believe this, Thomas." That's what I'm doing right now.
We're not on a plinth.
I don't know what that is, but I agree with you. A plinth,
it's like the top of a column, like looking down.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I just counted it up because I thought, "Ooh, plinth. Is that a word?
Is that a five letter word?
It's not. It's six."
Right. So, in preaching at myself and from my own plinth, where I'm the only person in the room, that's how we're gonna look at this. Yeah. I'm the person in the room of me being on the plinth. Like, just I in light of the Psalm 3 thing the other day, plus the God, be it impossible for God to lie thing today, plus this, like, through the shield of God's protection over me, I want my filter to start with how I see the world completely from this standpoint. how does that refract the light of everything else? Yeah. If it starts with, this is how God feels about me, and God's love for me is so sincere. In my life, he hates evil because of, through the lens of he loves me. And, okay, so when other things on the outside are bothering me, where I'm having a terrible time, or whatever else is, people are saying mean things, whatever the thing is, what if the first thing I did was, this is where I started. This is my defense. It would deflate so many things so quickly.
Wow.
Anyways, I just got on my soapbox to myself again.
I mean, a soapbox is like a mini plinth.
I don't even know what a soapbox is. okay, this is going to sound so stupid, but the only thing I know what a soapbox is, but the only thing I can think of is what a bar of soap comes in.
No.
Okay, then that's fine. Help me. You're smarter than me.
Back in the day.
Okay.
They used to have like these
odds where multiple bars of soaps would come in.
Yeah, in a wooden crate.
Yeah. Okay. Not far off. Why would they call it a soapbox?
Here's what I'm saying to you.
But why would I stand on a soapbox to preach at somebody?
If you stood on a soapbox, you would be so much taller than everybody. You're already, you don't even
know, but like, why would it be a soapbox? Why would it not be a platform? I'm going to get on my platform. I'm going to get on my,
because it was because at the time the idea of a soapbox was it was a movement of poor people of the communist revolution. It happened in the back alleys of crowded cities. There weren't no platforms. It was just whatever was lying about, a soapbox.
My wife right now is probably how is Thomas not Wikipedia this already? How does he not know what this phrase means?
If you don't know this about T, the man will wiki anything. he's got a hair trigger for Wikipedia.
I want to know things.
There's four articles he wants to read as soon as this is over.
Yeah, whenever I travel, I keep a note.
You should find out if people who have really great hand-eye coordination, if it changes after they have a baby.
No.
That little sad no.
I don't want it to. I've noticed my dad reflexes a lot.
Oh god!
I can catch things that are falling really quick.
Guys, thanks for listening. We love you. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
The sad sign off. This has been Ancient and New.
What a fellowship! What a joy divine! Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure. Day.